This podcast is supported by Understood Explains. As parents, we are often having to figure out things as we go, and that is very true for our children's education. And to help you out, I want to tell you about a podcast called Understood Explains. This season is hosted by teacher and special education expert Uliana Ortube, and she discusses all the things you'd want to know about individual education plans, or IEPs, what they are, why they're needed, who benefits from them, and what to expect when you have meetings with teachers. I could have really used this podcast when my son had an IEP for speech when he was six. I was overwhelmed trying to understand the process and what everything meant. The episode on Understood Explains, Does My Child Need an IEP, was the kind of info that would have really helped me get the most out of the educational support of the IEP for my son. And if you need that kind of support, I really recommend this podcast. To listen to Understood Explains, search for Understood Explains in your podcast app. That's Understood Explains. Welcome to Mom in Mind. I'm perinatal psychologist and host Dr. Kat. There's more to the story than just postpartum depression, and this podcast aims to share it all. From personal stories and lived experience to experts who break down the ups and downs of life from getting pregnant, pregnancy, perinatal loss, and postpartum adjustment to parenthood. While this is not psychotherapy or medical advice, it is all of the stuff you ever wanted to know about mental health and new parenthood. Welcome back to the Mom in Mind podcast. I am your host, Dr. Kat, and on this episode, I am joined by Dr. Whitney Caceres. She is a private practice pediatrician and AAP spokesperson and published author, podcast host, medical review board advisor for Prevention Magazine, and a mom of two young girls in Portland, Oregon. Her mission is to help working moms break the cycle of burnout in parenting and shift their focus to their own health and well-being to create a sense of balance that fosters greater joy in every area of their life. And today we're talking about how she supports new moms in her practice and in her platform, and very specifically her newest book, Doing It All, A Stop Overfunctioning and Become the Mom and Person You're Meant to Be. Some really great things that we talk about in her book are related to mental clutter and physical clutter, and how and why it's so important to understand that impact on you. How to find clarity in understanding what your priorities are. It's a really great perspective that she takes that she calls centered vision. I think it's a useful tool for everyone who is looking for a way to really shed all that extra weight that they're carrying about all the things that they feel like they need to achieve in their life and really focus more on connecting to who you want to be. It's a really great perspective to take. And part of her work is that yes, she cares about your kids as a pediatrician, but she cares about you too. And that's apparent in her work because she knows that when you take better care of yourself, you can take better care of everyone and everything else. And this is a great chat and a great reminder of the ways in which you can do that, that are not just superficial self-care ways. So please welcome Dr. Whitney. Welcome, Dr. Whitney. Thank you so much for being here.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure.
I'm really excited to talk with you. I have your book, Doing It All, and we're definitely going to talk about that. I think it's really well laid out and so useful. But first, let's just talk about the work that you're doing and what is Modern Mommy Doc?
Yeah, my platform is about trying to thread the needle between what is kind of the highbrow ivory tower advice that parents and especially moms receive about parenting and about wellness for their kids with what's actually practical. My kids are neurodiverse. I have a child who has autism, and she has taught me a lot about reprioritizing what actually matters when it comes to being a parent, and also giving myself so much more grace and compassion than, to be perfectly honest, I gave parents before I became a parent myself, right?
Right.
I kind of, and I think a lot of doctors operate this way, you know, you kind of think when you don't have kids, like, come on, just sleep train them. Like, come on, just get them to eat the vegetables. And then you are a parent and you're dropping your child off at school like I did this morning, and you don't have time to walk her in today, and she has to cross the street very briefly with some friends, and she's very mad at you, and you have the sense of guilt that comes washing over you. And so I live that every single day, sometimes really intensely. And so my goal is to help other parents and especially other moms to feel seen, to feel understood, but also to have resources and strategies for how to deal with those very normal feelings and those normal times that we have of feeling very overwhelmed as moms in the modern age. And really to decide what are the things that I can control when it comes to being a mom, and what are the things that I need to just let go or advocate for in a larger sense, but not attach my entire self.
I'm sure. And did having kids of your own, I assume, started your process, but is there something that made it clear to you that other parents needed this kind of support too?
Yeah, absolutely. So I would be in my office and I would be talking about brushing teeth and I would be talking about starting solid foods. And parents, I think because I'm just always an open book with people, would say like, well, how do you do it? How do you do work and life? Or, you know, my child's having a tantrum. How do I do it? And maybe my advice would be something that's not just cookie cutter. Here are all the little scripts you should give, but rather, well, how does it make you feel when your child has a tantrum? Do you feel really bad about your parenting? Or do you feel like you go from 0 to 60? And when are the times that you feel like you're able to actually respond to your child instead of react to your child? And so all these parents kept on talking to me about work-life integration issues in the office. Also, these deeper issues when it came to their kids that were more psychosocial and lots of emotional issues. And they were things that sometimes I could talk about in full if we didn't have a whole other agenda during the office appointment. But a lot of times that I felt like needed a deeper explanation, or that, you know, sometimes when you're writing something, you can be a little more honest, especially when you're like writing to a whole group than to just one person. And so that I felt like maybe I wanted to say, but I didn't want to be offensive and I wanted to really craft my message. And so I started writing down in essay form kind of what I would tell parents, what I would tell moms if I had a full floor for an hour to chat with them. So that became a blog. And then over time, that became a book about newborn babies. And then after that, a book about working moms. And then now this new book, doing it all.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, there's, I think you have a unique approach to your work that not everybody either can do or wants to do or whatever it is. But this is, it feels like very, I mean, you are including the parent in the process. It's not just about baby. And you have a, it's a very clear understanding that what's about baby is also about mom or parent, that like, they're the support person and they need skills and tools and hope and strategies and all of that in order to support baby, to support the kid.
Unfortunately or fortunately, parent wellness and child wellness is a feedback loop. So it can be a positive feedback loop where kids are doing well. That helps parents to feel really confident. Then they feel good about themselves. They take care of themselves and they care well. Or parents are doing well. They take care of themselves and they're able to, you know, provide good parenting to their kids. And or the opposite is true. When a parent is really stressed, it can make it really difficult to be present in the moment with their kids.
Yeah.
And, you know, what happens biologically is when we're stressed, our bodies go into fight or flight. And so they decide that all they can do is think about just that moment. They can't do long-term planning. They can't think about finding solutions that work forever. You just do whatever will work in that exact moment. And sometimes that's amazing. You make a great decision. But when you have to do that over and over and over again, it makes it so that over time, we're less wise than we'll want to be. We're more reactive. And oftentimes we kind of stuff down our needs as parents when that happens. And then later on, it comes exploding out everywhere, you know, either in the way that we react to our kids, if we snap at them, or that we react to our partners, if we have them, or maybe just in our own bodies that we have more chronic headaches, or we have restless sleep, or we're not metabolizing the energy that we put into our bodies as effectively. I mean, so many things that happen as a result of that stress response, and especially a chronic stress response.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I would say by nature, you're in some stress when you have a new kiddo, a new baby. Even if it doesn't feel like, you know, the worst stress of your life, it's all new. And you're trying to figure out a million different things as you go along, how to figure out what your needs are, if that's even on your radar. Figure out what baby's needs are and how to manage relationship and home and family and all of these things. So it's really easy to get lost in that.
For sure. And this generation of parents is bombarded with so much conflicting messaging. So, you know, and a lot of black and white kind of rigid thinking messaging. So like, this is the exact right way to do it. Or this is the exact right way to do it. And these people are out of their minds. They have no idea what they're doing. I think that's really confusing for parents. And what I see is parents come into my office, especially the new moms and dads, who or caregivers in general, who they are amazing executives. They make like really a company defining decisions all day long. But then when it comes to decisions around parenting, they are lost. It's like they have lost all of their executive functioning. They're unable to make decisions for themselves or for their baby. And yes, that is because it's all new. It's all fresh. You've never done it before. There's so much pressure. You're taking care of a life for the first time that's not yours. And also it's all this messaging that people are getting that says, basically, if you don't do it right, every single time, your kids are going to end up totally messed up. And the result, the reality is kids are pretty resilient. And also there's just a few things you have to do right when you're a parent to raise kids who meet the goals you have for them, which mine are not for my kids to become, you know, like Ivy League academians or to become like, you know, NFL stars. It's for my children to be able to contribute to others in the community one day, to know themselves and have coping skills so that when they get stressed, they can deal with it, things like that, right? So kind of take a step back from all of these have-tos as parents.
Yes.
It can relieve so much of that stress that, you're right, is completely present for parents these days.
Yeah, for sure. So it's hard to weed through all of that social media stuff because it's like a drinking out of a fire hose sometimes, unless you just really like delete the apps and put it away, you know, your phone in a different room in a different house so that you're not trying to access all of it. But it's also one of the ways that people do get information and some of the ways that people do feel connected to, you know, certain communities or groups. So it's quite a lot to navigate and can have people maybe thinking they should do things that aren't necessarily good for them. Like maybe it's good for Susie, but it might not be good for you. And one of the things I like in your book, Doing It All, is that you have some really great, we haven't gotten to the book yet, but there's some ways for people to figure out what that is for them. There's like, you know, not worksheets, but well, worksheets and things to help people think about and lead through just for themselves on what their specific needs are.
Yeah. The book is kind of half philosophical, you know, prescriptive information, stories where you could just read through. And there's an audiobook too. So it's great for that. But yes, we specifically designed it to have basically to-dos or little activities that people could go through that just take a few minutes. They're not extended period of time, you know, investments, but to help clarify better what are the key concepts that we're talking about in the book. Because I really wanted it to be that when people finished reading the book, they didn't just feel like, oh, that would be nice. It would be nice to prioritize the things I care about the most. Amazing. Great idea. But how do you do that? In order to walk people through how do you make a perspective change or how do you get people to think about things differently, I felt that the publisher really felt like we had to have some practical hands-on activities for parents to walk through.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of them, which I hear a lot with folks that I meet with, is the clutter of life, not only in their physical space, but what it feels like internally. And yeah, that is a big deal for people because it's overwhelming. And yeah, can you talk a little bit about like what that is and why it's important?
Yeah, I agree with you. I actually think that clutter is one of the most damaging things to our psyche. And there's two ways that I think about it. So there's clutter in terms of, you know, I'm looking at my desk right now and it's a little bit cluttered and there's a book over here and a, you know, hair clip over here and some mail over here. And honestly, if I'd had a moment before we got on and I didn't have this stuff here, it would be easier to focus on the conversation at hand because I wouldn't visually be stimulated by all these things.
Right.
The other thing about physical clutter is that every single thing that you have to care for in some way, shape, or form.
Right.
You have to clean it or you have to pick it up when the kids throw it across the room or, you know, the cat. I just got some cats that the cats like, you know, scatter all their toys everywhere.
Yeah, they do. Right, right.
And if you're the person in your home, which most women are in America, who carries the majority of the mental load, the unseen labor of your house, that means you are going to be the one that has to deal with all that stuff And that could potentially breed more resentment if you have more and more that you have to care for. It also just takes away from other stuff that you have on your mind that you wanted to do. For example, I need to write a chapter today for a new book that I'm working on. If I was to spend my entire time cleaning my house and I had so much stuff that I wasn't able to keep it somewhat organized, I know I'd be distracted by that. And I would probably suck up all my time that I wanted to spend on a task I really cared about, taking care of the clutter. So that's one. The second, though, is the clutter that comes in to our minds from all of these pressures we put on ourselves about to-dos. So it could be you signed your child up for a fifth extracurricular activity to keep up with the Joneses, or because that's what it seems like everybody around you does. It could be that someone asked you to be on the Parent Teacher Association and you really hate being on committees, but you said yes because you felt a little bit guilty. And there are those types of clutter that come into our schedules all the time, or something where maybe it's a meeting that you're holding, but it could be a Slack message or an email message to somebody instead of having a 15-minute or 30-minute meeting. So I really encourage parents, when they're looking at their physical environments, to think about how can I declutter? And there's tons of books about decluttering, entire, you know, Marie Kondo, Netflix specials about clutter, decluttering. I don't think it has, like, that there's magic about the way you declutter. I think it's just about deciding, do I actually really need this? Should I give it away, sell it, trash it? Like, you know, I just got to get rid of some of my stuff. In terms of the mental clutter, the biggest thing for me and for parents that I work with is trying to start to audit what's happening in your day. So if I look back on yesterday and I go, wow, I had 5 meetings in a row. Then I didn't even have time to eat lunch because I was running from X to Y. Mm-hmm. I felt stressed when I picked up the kids and then I snapped at them.
Right.
Okay, I'm going to take a look at what does the next week look like on that same day. You know, it was a Monday. I'm going to look at the next Monday and go, is there anything I could eliminate or change or give myself a little break in between 5 minutes of rest? Or is there something that could be an email and it's a meeting? Is there anything I could do to make it so that things make more sense, are more bundled together, and are just eliminated completely? Because when we run like that every single day, again, we get into that fight or flight state. And one thing I want to make sure that people are aware of, that listeners are aware of, I know you know this, is that when we run on a high speed, on a high frequency consistently, sometimes it feels kind of bad at first to give ourselves those breaks, to slow down, to not have every second of every day filled, to not be doing constantly. So if you tried this out, if you took our advice to maybe declutter your schedule, and then you're like, oh my gosh, I find myself feeling very uneasy, very anxious.
Yeah.
That's normal. That's because your body has been in fight or flight. So when there's nothing to fill the time, it feels vulnerable. Mm-hmm. Like, uh-oh, the tiger might attack me in the jungle here, you know?
Yeah.
So you got to just retrain your brain. And sometimes it just means taking those small little breaks or small little times of not doing anything and then building up over time.
Yeah, absolutely. That is a really big part of changing stuff, especially in therapy, is anticipating that it's going to potentially feel bad and knowing that that's going to happen. Because a lot of times there's like the momentum that you're describing, like this is just what I've been doing, so it feels like I have to do it, can bring up feelings of guilt, like, or whatever internalized messages like, oh, I'm being lazy. I hear that a lot.
Right.
If I don't do stuff, or if it's, you know, there's all, I have this long list of things I should be doing or I have to do, and sitting here, you know, whatever, staring at the wall, maybe what I need, but like still thinking about all this stuff. So to, like you're saying, give yourself some time that it's going to take to adjust to a new pace, a new normal.
This podcast is sponsored by Paired. One of the things I hear weekly is how clients feel distant or not as connected to their partners, and also how they'd like to feel heard and seen by their partners. So for all you partners out there, it might be time to try Paired. It's an app that helps couples connect in a meaningful way, especially for couples who either feel disconnected, don't have time to sit down together, or who are just wanting to keep the connection going. This app is great. My husband and I are on it, and one of the things I love are the games where I answer a set of fun or interesting questions, and then he does the same, and we see where our answers line up or are different. It's a really cool way of learning something new about him, even though we've been together over 20 years. And there are a bunch of other great questions geared towards connection and understanding and intimacy that, when you share your answers, can help you and your partner understand each other better. Share the love this Mother's Day by going to paired.com/mind to get a 7-day free trial and 25% off if you sign up for a subscription. That's paired.com/mind to sign up today. Let's give the gift of connection this Mother's Day. A happier relationship starts here.
Hey there, I'm Debbie Reber, the founder of Tilt Parenting and the author of the book Differently Wired. The mission of Tilt is to change the way neurodivergence, whether that's having a learning disability, having ADHD, being gifted, autistic, or some combination of all of the above, is perceived and experienced so differently wired kids and the parents like us raising them can truly thrive. On the Tilt Parenting podcast, I get to talk with authors, therapists, educators, and parenting experts who are committed to this mission. I ask the questions my listeners are most curious about when it comes to supporting our kids. And in turn, my guests share strategies for challenges, out-of-the-box ideas for navigating school, best practices for therapies, tips for advocating, and so many thoughtful insights on what it really takes to help our kids grow up feeling seen and respected so they can create awesome lives for themselves. I know that raising a differently wired kid can feel overwhelming and isolating, but I promise you, you are not alone, and it can feel so much better. If you're on this parenting journey, come listen to Tilt Parenting. Together, we can shift this paradigm and show up for our exceptional kids with hope, possibility, and joy.
Exactly. And also, as women, I mean, we derive a lot of our value from the amount of things we're able to produce constantly, the number of things we can check off our to-do list. I mean, I have had in the past a tendency to create a to-do list, get everything done, and then feel really like, okay, well, I better create more to-dos. I can do more. I'm so proud of myself at the end of the day. And there's nothing wrong with feeling accomplishment for setting a goal and reaching it. But when you're in that constant state of like, I need to keep doing in order to feel like I'm okay, that's a chance to reevaluate. It's a chance to get curious about why. And I know the why is based off the literature, because as women, we're conditioned to do, to produce, and also to continue being pleasing in society, to kind of function for other people. And so we want to try to break that cycle, even if it's very slowly for ourselves. And then also for my kids. I always think about for my daughters. Like, I don't want my daughters to feel that way.
Right. So you changing what you're doing helps them learn a different pace, a different way.
Exactly. Because we're in a go-go-go society for them, too. We're in an attention economy, which means everybody is vying for our attention constantly.
Yeah.
Average American checks their phone 80 times a day.
80,
which feels like a lot. But then if you start counting in an hour, how many times you check your phone? Okay. I'm higher than that. It's bad. I'm higher than 80. That's only 10 times an hour for 8 hours, but like you're awake for.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So our kids are learning that from a very young age as well.
Yes.
They get notifications on their apps, on their screens, all of that. And so it really is up to us, however slowly we're able to adjust it and however much awareness we could bring to it, to try to change the way that we are operating so that we can role model for our kids that ability to slow down, that ability to be responsive versus reactive, that ability to be quiet with ourselves, which is not the way that the world is trending.
Yeah, totally. Y'all, you made me think of like many times that my son has said like, I'm bored, and I'm like, good, great.
Yeah.
Just sit there and be bored and see what your brain does with it.
Totally.
Because like, it's really easy to have input of TV or the Switch or the, you know, whatever. And just like allowing his brain to wander a little bit. He's like, oh, I want to play with this toy that I haven't touched in 5 months. And we are no different. Like as adults, I myself, just speaking of like being too busy, I'm like yearn a little bit for a time where I can just sit and see what my brain does with like other things. But it doesn't just happen. You have to make it happen.
Yeah. Like, you have to make it happen, and you have to practice it. Because I mean, I've had entire vacations where it's like I start a fight with my husband. Like, I feel like I'm like the work, like I can't hang. I feel bad in my body because I haven't practiced slowing down. It feels so bad to my system. The other thing I was going to say for those who are listening who might have slightly older kids, that it's not a bad thing when you're training your kids to be able to be slower and yourself to be slower to actually like lock away the technology for a little bit. I have to lock away with a key the technology for my kids until it's technology time. I used to feel kind of bad, like, oh, that means my kids are bad kids because they need me to lock this away from them.
Oh, I see.
And I have really come to a lot of acceptance around like, no, I'm just raising them in a world that they have access 24/7 to all the things that I don't want to be stressed about. Are they on it? I don't want to be mad at them when they sneak it. Like, I just want it gone so that way we can enjoy our time. And that way, like you said, they're kind of forced in some ways to have to just play with their doll or with their puzzle or with their slime or whatever it is for a little while.
And be bored. Yeah, for sure. All those things that they wanted for their birthday or Christmas or whatever that is like gathering dust somewhere else. Yeah, I just, if it's for me in some ways, like if it's true for kids, it's true for us.
Yep.
Always adults, like we need that too. And I can like go buy the same book I've been meaning to read for years. It's like sitting there next to me on the dresser and get distracted by something else that's technology based or whatever. And it creates so much intention for us to do it. But we have, and we, I don't know, like we, when I was a kid, I didn't have a technology. It wasn't part of the distraction. And us as adults, it's just around everywhere. So like we have to learn how to manage it so that our kids can know too. But I think going back to the mental clutter, how much does that add to that when you're so also distracted or feel like you need to check this thing all the time?
Yeah, exactly. For those who have partners as well, and if you're listening to this thinking like, well, there's no one else to do all the things and the things that are on my mental clutter list are not extras. I'm not signing my kid up for the fifth extracurricular. I'm just trying to get the dishes and, you know, order the medications and change the sheets and the dog barfed on the floor, you know, like all of that. I would encourage you a couple things. One, in the book, I do go through an entire chapter about how to kind of like divide and conquer with a partner.
Yeah.
But I do think part of that is about bringing awareness to how much you do to the other people that live in your home. So I will like once a month, and this isn't as a brag or as a way to be like, poor me, but just so there's awareness. Mm-hmm. When people start getting ungrateful in my house or it feels like, you know, the way I cut their sandwich isn't right or whatever, I will, I write out like for one day, like the stuff I do, you know, a la Erotsky in her book, Fair Play.
Mm-hmm.
But I just keep doing it like once a month, like, okay, well, I'm just going to write down again, every single thing I did. I signed the school permission form. I, you know, paid on schoolcafe.com for your school lunches, like all the things that I did to help bring some awareness and some gratitude.
Yeah.
And I encourage my kids to do the same thing. Like, what things have you done for our house today? Oh, you fed the cats. It's so great. You put on your sheets. I love it. And thinking about like an investment in our whole home, because that's part of the mental clutter. It's just the fact that we are caring so much as moms. And I do that with my partner too, with my husband. Mm-hmm. I'm like, here's the list. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Right. It's so easy to get caught up in that, which you call it, like the momentum, I guess, of that is it's just going. You're just doing. And right. Another reason to be really intentional and take stock for yourself, because you might, the mental health ramifications of that is anger and frustration and irritability and feeling unappreciated and all of that stuff. And while it would be great for somebody else to come in and recognize what you're doing and offer you space and time, if that's not happening, then you have to do it for yourself.
Yeah, you really do. And in my household, it wasn't enough to just talk about like, well, I do a lot. I don't understand why you don't see that it's different. My husband would go like, well, no, I keep saying you do more for our family. That's crazy. And then I would write down the list and he'd go, oh,
right.
I didn't. Because it's unseen labor. He doesn't see the form being signed. He doesn't see the, you know, me cleaning up the cat vomit quietly. Like, because those are things I don't announce most of the time. I just do them, you know, because
right.
I don't want someone to step in it. So that's I think that's just part of as caregivers, as moms, we're taking care of everybody else constantly. And so sometimes it does take just like putting it in objective terms for our family and for our partners.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And I'm glad that you kind of tagged or noted that it's not like you're doing it for a selfish reason or, hey, look at me. It's because it is really hard to conceptualize what somebody else's day is like. We make assumptions about it, or our partners, let's say, in this case, make assumptions about what we do all day or just don't think about it. So bringing it to light is fantastic. I really needed. You talk about something else, the centered vision. Can you describe what that is? And
yeah. Okay. So the book, this is the book, Doing It All, Stop Overfunctioning and Become the Mom. This book is designed to be a framework for people to use to organize all the things that they have to do, they have to get done. I'm talking like laundry, dishes, camp signups, all of that, but that shouldn't define them. And then to think about what are the things in their life that they want to do, that they want to define them. And then it gives you a way to focus more of your time and your energy on the things that matter to you and less of your time and energy on the things that don't matter to you. So it starts by creating a centered vision. And the centered vision is, what would your life look like when you were 85 years old and looking back, if it was purposeful, if it was aligned with your core values, if the people that you wanted around you were around you, even in the midst of life, which we know is chaotic and is not completely controllable. So it is kind of a visioning that I use in order for people to kind of think about in more like conceptual terms, what are the things to care about?
Yeah.
But it's not manifesting. So I want to be really clear about that, because
thank you.
Yes. Lord love the manifestors who are like, and then I'm going to be president of the United States in 10 years. And I'm like, okay. Like, but then there's there's all these factors that can get in your way when you set these like lofty goals that aren't based in reality. And so this is about figuring out what type of person you want to be in 5 years, in 10 years, in 80 years. Because those things, it doesn't really matter what happens in your life. You can still be that type of person. Mm-hmm. For example, the things that are in my centered vision are contribution to other women. That is like first and foremost something that I was put on this earth to do, is to like connect with other women, link arms with them, support them, encourage them. So I will say yes to doing that, paid, unpaid, spending a bunch of time writing, all of that, like till the cows come home. And even if we're in the middle of a pandemic, I could find a way to do that. Mm-hmm. It might not be the same version I would normally, but I could find a way to do that. Mm-hmm. The other thing on my list is building a strong relationship with my kids and supporting them as they grow into the human beings that I know they're supposed to be. The other is protecting my peace physically and mentally. So that doesn't mean I'm a size zero jean. That means that I am well within myself, that I am not constantly anxious, constantly stressed, even though sometimes, of course, those little blips are going to come on the radar because we're all humans. The other one that's on my list is exploring new cultures, new music, new books, new ideas. Again, think about like pandemic. I wasn't going to travel across the world to go see some crazy place. Sometimes budgetary wise, expense wise, in my own house, I don't have time to go take a big trip. That's not going to happen. But I can always be learning. I can always be listening to my favorite artist on my AirPods. Like, those things can always happen. So the centered vision is about what can you come back to that matters a ton for you. And it matters when we think about dividing up our time and how stressed we are and how overwhelmed we get. Because as moms especially, we can sometimes lose ourselves in this new role that we have.
Right.
So we can oftentimes feel like, I don't even know what I want to order off the menu at the brew pub, much less like who I am, what I want to be.
Yeah.
And so I want people to be reminded of who they are, what they care about, what drives them, what lights them up inside first and foremost. Because then when you know what you want to say yes to in your life as an individual human being, then it's so much easier to say no to all the other junk in life that doesn't matter, or to do it really like kind of halfway, or to give it to somebody else, you know, or to set a boundary around it, whatever you need to do, whatever strategy you need to employ. But first, you have to be able to know it's because I want to say yes to these things that matter the most to me.
That is super important because, right, I mean, in contrast to the kind of manifesting and that whole cultural phenomenon, well, there's more to say about that, but that is centered around more things and doing and not as much around being. And I really love that distinction when you can be connected to who you are and who you want to be. It does shift. It has to shift how you relate to the things in your life and the goals in your life. And it doesn't have to be about having what somebody else has materialistically. That does facilitate shedding a lot of that extra, I would think, mental clutter too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And for example, like this book, if I had manifested, it's going to be a New York Times bestseller. Like, it's not going to be, you know, because I don't have like the, you know, like I'm not at, you know, Random House publisher for this book. It's not getting like the press and all of that, but it would if I was a celebrity. You know, this isn't Britney Spears' memoir, right?
Right.
But if it helps like a group of physicians that I went and talked to last month to stand up to the hospital executive team and say, no, we need to have sick coverage. When we're sick, we shouldn't have to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and come into work and take care of babies. Like, we should be able to have resources in this hospital to cover it. If it helps the woman on Instagram that direct messages me and says, like, I have an autistic child too, and I felt seen for the first time in my entire life. The fact that a physician said sometimes she wished that her child didn't have this diagnosis, like that meant so much to me. Thank you for being so real. So
right.
I think that there are ways to organize or like think about your core values that aren't based off you have to reach some lofty goal or you have to be this thing, but more about, am I doing the work I'm supposed to do in my life? Am I fulfilling my purpose kind of here on earth?
No one told us the truth about parenthood. Why? This is the podcast everyone needed before they had kids, because now that those little ones are here, whew, there is a lot to unpack. I'm Rachel Shepardota, and I am your host for the podcast No One Told Us, where we tell the truth about parenting and let you in on all the stuff you really should have known about before having kids. I am the founder of Hey Sleepy Baby, but this podcast is so much more than sleep. We'll be diving into all the topics that you really care about and need to know while you do your best job raising those adorable, tiny humans. Our goal is to just make you feel less alone and less overwhelmed. There are so many things that no one tells us before becoming a parent, and I think that we should really pull back the curtain on becoming a first-time or second-time mom or dad to share the good, the bad, and the ugly. We'll have a little education, a little fun, and a whole lot of heart that goes into each and every episode. So join me and our amazing guests each week to hear us talk about what no one told us.
I'm Margaret.
And I'm Amy.
And together we host the podcast, What Fresh Hell? Laughing in the Face of Motherhood.
Margaret, I would say you're sort of a where are my keys kind of mom.
Correct. Sometimes a where are my kids kind of mom. While you're, Amy, more of a we were supposed to leave 35 seconds ago, mom.
I mean, touche. In each episode of What Fresh Hell, we come at a topic from our usually completely opposite perspectives. I bring the research.
And I bring kind of the gimlet eye. Like, is that research really going to work, people?
And almost 10 million downloads later, we're still laughing.
We also talk to experts in the parenting field, plus parents with stories we can all learn from.
We make each other laugh, we challenge each other's assumptions, and we have what we think is the best parenting community on the internet.
Check out What Fresh Hell, Laughing in the Face of Motherhood, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Well, that just really does shift things. I can't speak to other cultures necessarily, but because we're in this culture, like a Western based culture, there's a lot of emphasis on things, materialistic things, sort of. When you live in a society that does have kind of like a capitalistic bent on things, there's no way that you're not going to feel the need and the pressure for things. So I think it's just another way of not. An important way of not kind of succumbing to what we're all swimming in is like to be grounded and reminded of what is like actually important long term. It's really, really fantastic. I love it.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. You know, I think also, like, I like shiny things. Like,
sure.
Amazing. I just bought a new chair, you know, that's going to go in my living room for West Elm. I'm so excited about it. I've been waiting for it for 4 months. I had a delay because of some, like, Red Seas travel thing. Anyway, so it's finally coming. And I'm thrilled about it.
Sure.
But guess what I don't have in my living room? Like, you know, all kinds of, like, I don't know, bins full of toys that I pick up every single day and put away every single day. I don't have like a million bookshelves full of books that I read and have to put away again. I don't have like tons of dishes. So I think even that is about prioritizing. Like, is there some beautiful thing that you want that you can sit in and relax and you love it every single day? Awesome. But most of the things we buy, we don't buy them because they actually give us a ton of pleasure or are super functional for us. We buy them because we're kind of feeling bad and we need a little dopamine fix, you know, or we think that's going to solve the bigger problem. And we do that for our kids too. I've totally done that for my kids.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for bringing that in. It's right. You're still going to have real things like that that you want and need. And that is okay. And you can still manifest things, but it's like the importance of, or try to manifest things. Oh, yeah, that's like a whole other topic. But yeah, it is important to recognize that you're still going to have needs and all of that balance is important. And that's what I think is so great about your book. You're not having people walking through people things that are not doable. It's like applicable to life. And while people might not be able to do every single thing in every single book or, you know, whatnot, but is certainly like being able to bring some intentionality and some thoughtfulness to how you spend your time and energy, especially as a new mom, as a new parent. Like, that's your resources, your internal resources are limited because you're exhausted, because there's now a new list of things to do. And one of the things I feel like I'm constantly talking to new moms about is that you cannot do everything you used to do and all of the new stuff at the same level. There's no way. And this is like, your book is a very concrete way of helping people make that adjustment, I think, because you have to take stock what the new pressures are, what the new lists are, and reconfigure how you do stuff.
You know, I think even if you were to think about the centered vision as a new mom or a new parent, I mean, one of your key things, one of your center points, as I call them, could be just sleep. Like, sleep is the most important thing to me right now. And I want to separate out my baby's sleep needs from my sleep needs. That is one of the golden nuggets that I always want parents to hear. Your sleep needs are not the same as your baby's sleep needs. So, okay, what would that mean to prioritize sleep? Maybe that means you're not going to have as fancy of a nursery for your baby. You're not going to spend money on that because you're going to spend money on a sleep coach or on a doula who's going to come and actually care for your baby. Or maybe instead of buying a million cute onesies that are so adorable for babies and like lovies and all that type of stuff, maybe instead you're going to invest in having a little date night with your partner if you have one, or just an hour, and have someone else come in and watch the baby. So that way you have some type of stimulation in your day. You got out and it's easier to sleep when it's time to go to sleep. So there are a bunch of things, even as a new parent, that you can do to say, like, these are the most important things to me right now. I know my most important as a new mom would have been sleep, which I did not prioritize the way I should have. And now I know better and I would have 100%. Mm-hmm. It would have been having a connection with my oldest friends, like people who really get it, making sure I spent time. It would have been actually reconnecting with at least something that was part of who I was pre-kid. So I really encourage new moms to do this, to think about, did you love reading like romance novels? Amazing. Get after it while you're holding your baby, like either on audiobook or, you know, while you're reading and they're sleeping. Like, this is a great time to return to that. Do you love, like, I don't know, underwater sea fishing and you want to watch documentaries about that? Like, anything that kind of turns on your intellectual or adult brain for a second and gets you out of that fog can really bring yourself back to who you were pre-kid, but without you having to go
you know, do all of the fancy things you used to do before you were a parent. So,
right.
And listen to that calling that's inside of you that says, like, oh, I miss myself. I feel like I'm not my old self. Okay, fine. What's one tiny little thing you could do to make yourself kind of remember who you are and who you are going to be once this whole stage is done?
Absolutely. And you have a platform where moms can go and connect. And can you say a little bit more about that?
Yes. So my platform is called Modern Mommy Doc. There is a website, modernmommydoc.com. I'm on Instagram being funny, dancing around, sharing funny reels, and also advice and tips. And then on the website, there is a blog that comes out every week or every other week and a podcast that comes out every other week. And then I have the three books that you can access there as well. If you want to hear more about my academic side and kind of like social systemic change things, you can find me on LinkedIn. That's where I hang out for that stuff. It's much more boring. It's much more interesting over on Instagram. I do the LinkedIn, you know, to like keep my gravitas going. But for the rest of the time, I'm on Instagram having fun.
Awesome. What about the Modern Mamas Club?
Yep. And so Modern Mamas Club, we've actually transitioned to programs that you could purchase just directly from the link on our website or on Instagram. And I have three programs there. So there's one called Navigating and Regulating Kids' Emotions, which is for like the toddler kids. Mm-hmm. There's one that's called Parenting in Partnership, where you can learn even more about how to get your partner on board if you're feeling like you're doing it all alone. And then there's one called The New Baby Blueprint, and that one has all kinds of information, medical information from my first book that talks about how to care for a new baby and yourself along the way. So those are sold as just like individual courses. They're audiovisual courses that you can buy there. So yeah, we decided to move it around a little bit because honestly, with technology as it changed, we can just house it right there at one site, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's great. It sounds super accessible. It's all like kind of on demand stuff, like at your own pace sort of.
Exactly. Deal. All on demand. The videos are, you know, sometimes 10 minutes, 15 minutes, very easy little chunks. Again, that you could listen to whenever you're bopping around with your baby.
Right. That's awesome. This has all been so helpful. And I know people who are listening and feel a little bit lost in their transition. Like these are concrete things to hold on to and, you know, to help guide them through. Is there anything else that you'd like to share?
I think the biggest thing to remember is that in the end, the only thing, the only person you have is you. So I love that parents are invested in helping their kids be the best they can be. I love that moms want to make their homes hospitable to people when they come. They want to make sure that they're getting everything done. But you have to make a decision, and that decision comes pretty early on in motherhood, about are you going to care more about other people than you're going to care about yourself? And I will tell you from experience, from falling into deep postpartum depression and anxiety, that when I started putting my very real needs first, I'm not talking about going on a week-long spa vacation by yourself. Right, I'm talking about getting the rest I needed. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about making sure that I went outside and got some fresh air. I'm talking about making sure that I told my partner, these are the things that I'm doing in the house, so that way he would take on more. That makes it so then you arrive as a parent, as a person, as a partner, in such a better place, and it actually feeds other people even more. So just remember that in those hard moments, is there something when you're feeling really down, when you're feeling burnt out, that you can give back to yourself, even if it's just 2 minutes of time being quiet with yourself? It's going to make a world of difference.
Beautiful. Thank you for that and for being on with us today and all the books and resources that you're putting out in the world to help people through this sometimes very challenging time.
Yes. Absolutely. I'm here for you all. Reach out whenever you need help.
Thank you so much.
Please find Dr. Whitney Caceres at modernmommydoc.com, on Instagram, modernmommydoc, and also on LinkedIn. You can find access and information about all of her books and resources that she discussed. For those of you who are new to the Mom and Mind podcast, please do subscribe so that you can get all of these episodes downloaded directly to you, and share. It really helps other people to be able to find the resource of this podcast. And all of the listeners who have been here for a while, you know how much important information is shared in stories and from experts and how life-changing it can be just to know that you're not alone. So any way that you can support this podcast by subscribing and by sharing this, I greatly appreciate you doing so. And thank you so much for being with us. Until next time. Please find the Mom and Mind podcast on momandmind.com or wellmindperinatal.com, where you can also find access to my free online mini course that is specifically designed for people experiencing anxiety in the postpartum period. Or you can learn more about the 3.5-hour self-paced course that I created just for managing postpartum stress. You can also connect with us on social media at Mom and Mind on Instagram and Facebook. Thank you for tuning in and learning more about perinatal mental health.
When it comes to raising kids, there's so much to consider. Things like, what do we feed them? When do we feed them? How do they sleep? What does it look like to raise kind kids? How does their nervous system work? How do I keep myself calm? What are my triggers? There's so much that comes into play, and we are distilling all of that information for you at Voices of Your Village podcast, where we bring experts in the field of early childhood and education and psychology and across the board so that you don't have to comb the internet for information. You get to show up and hang out and have shame-free, judgment-free conversations and insights into what it looks like to raise kind, empathetic, emotionally intelligent humans. I'm Alyssa Blask Campbell. I have a master's degree in early childhood education. I'm a mom of two, and I am walking this journey right alongside you doing this work. Come hang out with me at Voices of Your Village, and we can dive into real conversations with actionable tips.